In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Strange Planet. And if you'd like to get a little bit deeper into Strange Planet, you might want to consider becoming a premium subscriber. Just click on the link in the episode description, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. There are three monthly programs or tiers to choose from. Choose the one that's right for you. You gain access to commercial-free listening, bonus episodes produced just for premium subscribers, and a subscription to my monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. Also, I want to draw your attention to a new podcast. Well, not entirely new. I have a terrestrial radio show up here in Toronto. It's called The Richard Serrett Show. Surprise, surprise. And it's also available as a podcast, and it's available just about anywhere, Spotify, Apple, you name it. There may be a few exceptions, but for the most part, you can find it wherever you find your podcasts. And it's published once a day, Monday to Friday, five episodes a week. Again, The Richard Serrett Show. Really nothing like the content that we do on Strange Planet. Occasionally, the two worlds collide because yesterday's conspiracy theory is tomorrow's headlines. However, check it out, The Richard Serrett Show. And that's available just about anywhere you get your podcast. I'm seeing a lot of chatter, interest, again, on social media with the alien interview, which supposedly was recorded and came out of Area 51. It was released, I believe, back in 1997. There was a documentary, and you know, people go back and forth. Some claim they've debunked it. Others say, no, it's the real thing. Well, we're going to dive into that alien interview from Area 51 over the next 45 minutes or so. John Stewart is with us. He's a 56-year-old former professional wrestler and candidate for both the United States House of Representatives and most recently a candidate for Illinois governor and a 2022 candidate for the office of Illinois Secretary of State. He is also the principal investigator on the jaw-dropping investigation and documentary of the 1997 alien interview film smuggled out of an underground government facility south of Area 51 in Nevada by, of course, the infamous whistleblower known as Victor. John Stewart, welcome to Strange Planet. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, Richard. We've had a really rough week with the Victor investigation, so I think this is going to be a good one for your listeners and viewers because I'm in rare form.
All right. Well, a rough week. Okay, we'll delve into that.
I'm just being honest. You know, people discredit me for talking about my feelings, emotions, and my family, and, you know, too bad. But it's been a really rough week. I felt like I've been in a fist fight with this investigation this week for many reasons. But yeah, so I'm in rare form. So I hope I give your listeners and viewers their bang for their buck today.
Okay. No worries. You want to bring emotion and family and whatever you want to talk about, that's fine with me. You're keeping it real. It's authentic, and that's what we strive to do.
Trying to, thank you.
Is to be authentic. Just give us the Coles Note version about the Victor alien interview. What is it?
Yeah. 1996, a phone call comes into the Rocket production office in Beverly Hills of a man claiming to be a government employee, former government employee. He's got a 3-minute VHS tape of in an underground facility of an interrogation of an actual extraterrestrial. And Rocket Pictures, you know, second-tier video production company, they were putting out like a funny golf video at the time. I mean, this was not Spielberg and Paramount, and they'll admit that. So, of course, they're like, yeah, come on in. So the man comes in via taxi, does not drive, and very obstinate, stubborn, hard to deal with. Those are quotes from the director and the CEO of the production company. This guy plays plops in a 3-minute videotape, which is very bluish. Very grainy, showing an extraterrestrial, a gray, so to speak, alien, sitting there in an underground government facility being interrogated by what he tells them, the Department of Naval Intelligence. And it is not the blackened, dramatic video we see in 1997 when the documentary came out. This was a very grainy blue. You see the entire being's thorax and its arms and the military person in the foreground behind the viewing glass and military aide to the right and the two medical doctors that come in to tend to this being once it's flagged. And so it comes out in 1997. It's as creepy as all hell, especially now when you pair it against the other alien interviews that are obvious CGI and stuff. This thing looks like, a VHS tape, from 1989. It's the realism. The sensitivity of it is striking when you give it an honest look. And that's when I first saw it. And it has stuck in my brain, Richard, ever since. And in 2019, because of a prodding by a Hollywood producer, this got back into my brain. And because of COVID and some time off, I decided to put the pedal to the metal and investigate the truth, mind you, the truth. Not my feelings, not my belief, the truth of this video. Was it authentic? Was it a hoax? If it was authentic, where was it filmed? Who did it? If it was a hoax, who was Victor? What kind of actor has this scientific background that can answer questions, unrehearsed, like with Art Bell for an hour and a half? I wanted the entire makeup of it. And very important for your listeners and viewers to understand, you have no stake in the outcome of this video. I just simply wanted to find the truth.
The 97 documentary, I remember, I think it was the narration was the guy from Fox, the voice of Fox, who does a lot of the voiceovers, the liners, we used to call them. Was the original VHS footage in the documentary, or was it all theatrical recreations?
Great question. Yes, the original tape, as it appeared to Rocket Pictures, the bluish. This is on YouTube. Go look for it. The original Victor tape. You'll see a blue screen and a dark, dramatic, perfectly theatrical screen that Rocket did. And yes, Rocket goes through the entire 2-minute and 56-second videotape of the Bean sitting there. He's staring at the two men behind the viewing partition, because this is in a biosafety level interview suite, as Victor calls it. And then the medical personnel come in once the Bean starts to flag. So you see all of that. And again, when you know, this was coming off of the alien autopsy. So people were looking at this with a skeptical eye. And if you just sat back, really looked at it and examined the mouth, the eyes, the medical staff, the military people in the foreground, this is a very unpolished, unprofessional videotape of a film, as we found out, put to videotape of an extraterrestrial being interrogated in a facility, not S4, it's a facility that we later found out, Richard, that's called S2 Alpha, which housed the alien retention and interrogation program, as outlandish as that sounds.
Did you see the documentary when it came out in 97? And if so, what were your thoughts as you were watching this? And where was your head sort of parked vis-a-vis the UFO ET question back in 97?
Yeah, I always, great question, by the way, always had an open mind for paranormal conspiracies, you name it. I lived in Chicago. I grew up on Chicago 70s TV, which, you know, made us, me and my friends, all crazy. You know, it was just the most bizarre things they put on. So I always had an open mind. And Richard, I'm living downtown Chicago. I'm a part-time pro wrestler traveling around the country. I'm running for state representative. I'm an automobile dealer. I've got this, you know, crazy, exciting life. And this video shows up and my friends are like, hey, you got to watch this tonight. And I see this and it just grabbed me. And I think a lot of people that saw it back then were like, a gray alien, it's tan. It doesn't have the almond eyes. It's got round eyes. The medical staff aren't in biohazard suits. Richard, if you and I were hoaxing this, we would put these medical staff in you know, pressurized suits. But Victor tells us, look, it was only biosafety level 2, which was, and I later found out, which was gloves, masks, hats, and short sleeve scrubs. That was the required dress for bio-level contamination too, a very low level. Obviously, they knew this creature was not a contaminant to human beings. So it just grabbed me. It stuck with me, Richard, for 25 years. And again, a Hollywood producer during COVID asked me about ideas for documentaries. I bring up this one, he poo-poos it, but it doesn't come out of my head and it stays with me. And I started to put the pedal to the metal and investigate this video and find out exactly what this is all about and what the provenance is.
Okay, so once again, just explain how you got pulled into the investigation. Who asked you to do this?
Well, it was a producer named Adam Wilkenfeld. He's an Emmy Award-winning producer. He was looking for documentary ideas. We had worked together before. Again, he rejected this. He said it was going to be way too complicated. Boy, you know why he's successful. He can predict the future because this thing's been a nightmare for me. But it stuck in my brain. And so, Richard, the day after I spoke with Adam, I said, well, if he doesn't want to do it, I'm doing it. I'm going to find something out where I can disprove it in a day, right? And there was this bizarre physiological monitor next to the left side of the Bean. And the blip went up and down. It did not go across. It stayed stationary in one position. And, you know, I started to call. I found 3 PhD candidates that did the history of physiological monitors. They wrote me, thank God for the internet, by the way. In an hour, they wrote me back. They said, look, we've got your video clip. We have no idea what this monitor is. I did that day, Space Labs and Hewlett-Packard both did monitors back in the 90s. I talked to their monitor engineering department, believe it or not. Hewlett-Packard said, we don't have a clue. Space Labs, I got a cranky old guy who was doing monitors for NASA, actually. And he looked at me and said, I have no idea what this is. This might be a one-off, something you would make for a special situation that is, you know, to help you figure out a problem in science, a one-off, OFF. And he was mystified by it. And we only thought it was a pane of glass. And when we eventually got this video, a cursory analysis by a man that was hired by National Geographic to do the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot video frame by frame, one of the things he found was this monitor actually was riveted by or circumnavigated by actual metal ribbing, like it was fabricated by someone. And we thought 30 years ago, it's in a darkened room, you're a prop specialist, an FX specialist, you're not putting metal riveting around this, knowing it's never going to be seen. That really took us back to this virtual device. And again, I couldn't disprove it, so I kept going forward. And problem was, I didn't know anybody in ufology, and I knew no one in the military to help me with this, because Richard, I hope people can understand and appreciate this. I was literally having to go 30 years back into the past to break into the most top secret facility ever built by mankind, where 80% of my witnesses are dead. So that was my challenge.
80% of your witnesses are dead. How did you determine that? What did they die of?
Well, I determined that by just old age. You know, most of these people in the program were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s in 1997. And one military person that I did talk to, one of the first people I did talk to, he was going down a checklist. Oh, that person's dead. That person's dead. Oh, yeah, he died 15 years. You know, I knew I was in trouble here, and I knew I had bitten off more than I can chew. So that's what I mean about how most of my witnesses were dead.
So you found a military person who was able to identify individuals in the video. Can you divulge who this person was and what connection he had to Area 51?
Sure. I knew from hearing about ufology, watching documentaries, reading books, that many times a ufologist coming forward will get contacted by somebody on the inside. Photo sent to your house, a video, a book. They confront you at a grocery store or something. And I thought, could this possibly happen? So I go on Jeff Rentz, because I had been on Jeff Rentz before, and explained to him what was going on. And lo and behold, literally like 10 days later, I start getting an email from a man who, you know, tells me enjoyed my interview. I seem sincere. And I will never forget the line. If I can, you know, I know of these programs. I know the provenance of that video. If I can help nudge your investigation, I will. He emailed me once a month, Richard, for 9 months. And on my birthday, after an obvious vetting process of, is this guy for real? Can we trust him? Is he a goofball? You know, things that I would say. On my birthday, I'm a public figure, but I'm not Hulk Hogan, but you can find my birthday. But strange enough, on my birthday, I got and I want to be very specific. He sent me an email that was sent to him by somebody inside the Defense Intelligence Agency, who, by the way, folks, runs interrogation and retention. For me, was a report, an unauthorized viewing, which is what they call this tape that was smuggled out, a report of who is in the viewing gallery watching this alien interview, the name of the doctors that were tending to this being, the date and time that it was filmed, how it left S2 Alpha underground facility, had worked or knew, who sent him the entire internal investigation report of this smuggled film, if I'm saying that correctly. And it was transcribed, so I did not see any secret document for anybody that's listening. I did not see any top secret document, but I did see the information in the report. And the report clearly defined the time and date of this investigation, the type of alien ET that this being was, any three-letter alphabet agencies that wanted to insert their questions in this thought projection interview with this being. It also also gave the names of the military men in the viewing gallery watching this interrogation. And it also gave the name of the two medics or doctors that tended to the being at the end of the interview when the alien was having a respiratory coughing attack. And Richard, I knew none of these names. I heard of none of these names, and my hand was shaking because it was, I can't describe the fact of, you know, I was like peeking through the curtain. You know, I had finally, the golden gate was being cracked for this 55-year-old pro wrestler. You know, I almost felt like unworthy. Like I was like, it was a very bizarre situation. But I then started to Google and Wikipedia each of the people, and all of the military men were verified. Some were living, some weren't. The doctors were all, were one was dead, one was living. And just to kind of ramp and fast forward, I actually got a hold of one of the doctor's widows in California. She saw the video, fingered her husband on the right of the being to our left. She said, John, you have solved a family secret. And I was like, why? It was like, my husband was always secretive about his time in the Army Medical Corps, and we never figured out why. And now I know why he was so secretive and would never speak about his time in there.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. And we give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
All right, welcome back. As we try to unravel the mystery of the alien interview, you may recall the grainy videotape back in 1997. Of course, this was incorporated into a documentary film. Some say it's a fake. John Stewart, 56-year-old former professional wrestler and candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives and candidate for Illinois governor, has done a deep dive to determine whether or not this interview, this videotape of this alien, is the real deal. Okay, so you were talking about reaching out to the widow of one of the physicians in the video, to the right of the this being. So she had never seen the video prior to you communicating with her, or?
Not only did she never see the video, she had no idea her husband was ever at Area 51 or involved with aliens. Again, her quote, she's used the word, a light bulb has gone off over my head. You've just solved a family secret. She's like, John, our all of our friend groups, they're former military. They all have funny stories about boot camp or, you know, and non-combat related stories. My husband never said anything, and it was a point of contention between us. And when I sent her the video and I called her back, she said, that's my husband on, I fell off my chair. I thought this one was going to laugh at me, hang up, and gives me the name of her daughter who lives in southern suburbs of Chicago. And she's like, not like, you know, hey, creepy guy, get away from me, never call me again. This was like, oh, you're part of the family now. I'm of course being facetious, but that's the way she treated me. And it was just bizarre. I mean, I really should have and could have stopped the investigation there. I've had a person finger somebody in the video. And again, the rear admiral that just ghosted me once he found out, and I sent him this report with his name on it. He must have fell off the chair when he got this thing, because this has been dormant for 30 years. And then I come to find out the man that, you know, my deep throat whistleblower, if I'm using Watergate terminology, I found that, you know, I realized that he was emailing one Tuesday every month. And I, just from my knowledge as a business person, I realized that he might be on a board of directors, which meets one Tuesday every month. And through my investigation, what I had found out is when he went to this institution once a month, he would go to his secondary computer and email me, you know, questions, tidbits, whatnot, to kind of, I'm assuming, to not have anything tracked back to him. I thought that was very interesting. I was a little proud of myself when I realized that that he was going to his daughter's office. This is a very prominent philanthropist in a major metropolitan city. I've shown the picture to a couple of cop podcast people in person, and they're like, this guy looks like a, you know, 70-something-year-old man at a gala function with his wife. And it's just another shocking fact of this video.
Is he in the video? Where was he, or what is his connection to this underground
His connection, yeah. His connection, Richard, is that he either did work or was associated with the DIA, knew somebody well enough for them to send them this report. And it's shocking. And then I take the report to a military intelligence person retired who didn't know a lot about it. First thing out of his mouth is, oh, the Victor film? Yeah, you know, and, you know, got the name of the real facility. Everyone on the internet laughed at me. Oh, John Stewart, S2 Alpha, he's crazy. All of a sudden, a master sergeant chimes in on a chat room on YouTube and says, I've been out to Papoose Lake. I work there. S2 Alpha is the AHC, the Alien Housing Containment Center. And this is part of Project Aquarius, which I'm sure a lot of ufologists have heard about. And Project Aquarius was basically the umbrella project to research and craft from off-planet beings and from interdimensional beings. Because one thing I've learned, which David Grush at Congress coughed on his words, is that these beings can fold into from a different dimension also. So just pretty amazing stuff. And I will end this part of the thing with, I took this to the New York Times and Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Keene. We sat for 5 hours at the Midtown Hilton, where Ralph Blumenthal in an hour and a half said, because of my investigative work, I believe you. You did it. You know, they were stupefied that I would get out of my car, knock on doors, put notes on people's, like an old school journalist. And they said, if we can get a military person to verify this, you're on the front page of the New York Times. You're going to be the most, Leslie's like, you're going to be the most famous UFO researcher, you know, in the past 5 years. David's saying that I got there first. I'm just saying, he tells my ex about Way Media. Contacts me back after laughing at me for 6 months. You know, that part I can't understand, but just to let you know that I have taken this investigation to Congress. I've taken this to the New York Times and the Washington Post. This is, folks, the real deal. I mean, I know, understand that in the blackened screen of rocket pictures, it could look like an animatronic and a hand puppet. This is the real deal. I'm wrong. But no one has debunked it yet. So I'm standing here after 5 years going, if military people tell me it's true, if a widow fingers her husband in the video, I have nowhere else to go but to tell your viewers that in my professional journalistic opinion, we're looking at a real video. And we are certainly have been confronted by Victor, who without question on the souls of my children was working with the government in this alien program. That I can tell you on the souls of my children is 100% fact.
All right. Well, we'll find out more about Victor and the alien interview. John Stewart stays with us.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you, now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Lincoln County 911.
There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
As you're staring up at the night sky, Ever wonder who's staring back? You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Well, this is wild. The Alien Interview. You may remember the documentary from 1997 and containing grainy VHS videotape of the interrogation of an alien or some sort of entity deep underground at Area 51. John Stewart is with us, and he's been on the trail for 5-6 years trying to get to the bottom of this. So, Victor, who is Victor? When we talk about Victor's alien interview, who is this Victor?
Because of legal obligations and contractual obligations in the documentary that's coming, I'm not going to name him by name, but I can tell people it doesn't matter. No one knows him. You're not going to know him, folks. No one knows this guy. He's a, you know, an ambiguous and unknown scientist for the government, and through FBI, I would say profiling or psychological, which we did. I was just on the phone with an FBI, former FBI agent this morning. We hired police officers and FBI from the Reed School of Lie Detection. We hired an expert in whistleblowers. They all said the same thing. This guy, whether this, they couldn't comment on the video, but they said this man is without a doubt a scientist. It's at some level. He is telling the truth. He's pressured. He's nervous. He has dark humor, very emblematic of whistleblowers. He uses dark humor. And it's really the Victor testimony on the documentary and on the Art Bell show. He went on Art Bell for an hour and a half, begrudgingly. You know, he argues for a minute and a half why he had to do this and he shouldn't do this. And, you know, it might compromise him, so on and so forth. But you listen to that Art Bell interview with a clear head and say to yourself as an adult, that person's an actor. There's no way. And we've had experts now tell us that. And, well, I know who Victor is. We've had experts who don't know the provenance of Victor who said this guy is a scientist. He's telling the truth. He does checking, which is correcting people. And very few liars do that. You know, they want the conversation to flow freely. He's constantly checking people, the interviews. He's constantly getting specifics. You know, what program are you talking about? What article are you speaking of? What is the Bob Lazar story, even though he knew Robert Lazar? So it's bizarre. I've never seen somebody so he's obstinate. And it's called a pedantic personality, which is a very specific person that is very specific. And we asked the director of the two documentaries. He wrote me. He was the director and the CEO of the production company, both documentaries, 30 years later, privately and on Zoom call. We did not make this, and you have what you have. So, and you know, the bombshell really was the coding on the bottom of the film, if you want to get to that at some point, too.
The coding on the bottom of the film. What do you mean?
On the bottom, on the bottom of the film is called digital overlay graphic. By the way, folks, we were told in this internal investigation, this was 16mm film. Victor then transferred it to VHS. On the bottom is DNI, David November Igloo /27. Victor says the 27 is a cataloging system, which I never believed. Even back in 97, I'm like, oh, wait. He just lied there. And I was right. That Spidey sense 30 years ago, I was right. DNI, he says, is the Department of Naval Intelligence, which doesn't exist. Even to this day, if you Google it, it doesn't exist. I have, and Richard Dolan is even, you know, a high-ranking ufologist, has basically said, I have proven that the Department of Naval Intelligence is real. I have a text from a naval aviator who said it is real. It's an agency inside the Office of Naval Intelligence. You'll never find it because it's an agency buried. On my text, still have it. It's where the spooks operate for the Navy. He said, I said, how did you know? He said, because they tried to recruit me before I went to Pensacola for Naval Aviator School. It's a former Navy aviator telling me that DNI is real. Number two, Sergeant Munoz, DNI is real. I have a military intelligence person. DNI is real. I have a text from a day ago. We have a person whose brother was a spook agent, whatever you want to call it, for the DNI. I have this on text. He wrote me yesterday. Just want to let you know, my brother's getting a lot of flack from other people in the DNI. It's blacklisted, and they want the film back. This thing is real. Okay, that was the text from retired agent for the Department of Naval Intelligence. So the DNI is real. Here's the bombshell, Richard.
Who has the film?
We don't know. We were told in this report that Wendell Stevens had the copy that Victor used to make the VHS tape. Victor handed it to Wendell Stevens. This is what is so aggravating about my investigation. I called Wendell 5 years ago before he died, but I just saw this report in Wendell's name 2 years ago before he died. And Wendell took this supposedly, and it was placed in a bank vault supposedly, and the FBI did a raid on a bank in Paradise Valley, Arizona. I did a FOIA on it. They refused to give me any information, so we know the raid happened. This was in the DIA report. So it ended up with Wendell Stevens. So in the video, the original videotape, Rocket Pictures still has, and believe me, I'm going to get my hands on that one day. But here is really the bombshell. So I'm watching a Linda Moulton Howe documentary. She has been like my muse in this investigation. She is like sparked so many things. And she's doing an investigation about her 1980 extraterrestrial life. On every page is the number 27. And I woke up my wife and I'm like, 27, that's on the bottom of that film. I called the retired military intelligence insider. I said, what is 27? He goes, you mean Yankee White? I'm like, yeah, okay. What is Yankee White? He goes, John, that's a security umbrella for anybody who deals with and has contact with POTUS, the President of the United States. I said, do you know that it was on the bottom of the Victor film? He said, I had no idea it was on the bottom. But if it was, that means somebody in that room behind that viewing partition dealt with and had contact with the President of the United States, Admiral, that I was emailing. Oh boy, I don't want to compromise myself here. That one of the Navy admirals reported directly to Colin Powell. He was the intelligence liaison for the JCS, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, reporting to Colin Powell. We have him in the Oval Office helping Colin Powell with security briefings for George Bush. Hence why the number 27 was on the bottom of this film. I just ask people, could a screenwriter in 1996 figure that one out? I don't know. Other people have told us that 36, numbered 36. So 27, albeit a high security clearance, is not, you know, and we've been told that there's security way above the president, that the president doesn't understand. But folks, 27 is on that film because someone in that viewing gallery briefed President George Bush. I mean, it's we fingered the admiral in the room with Colin Powell as his briefing liaison, his security liaison. His name was Admiral Schaefer. He's dead now, and he's one of the only people that I actually would bring about a security liaison back in 91. We've got them both in the Oval Office, hence the number 27.
The Alien Retention and Interview Program. Any information from your sources on how long this has been going on? Are there other films out there?
My one military intelligence source said that one other film leaked out. Please listen to me, folks. A huge dossier called the United States Examination of Extraterrestrial Contact. Documents, photos, autopsy reports. That also was removed by this. We found a small cabal. Victor was one of them, in S4 and S2 was determined to remove material from this facility, and they did. That has never surfaced either. We don't know if the FBI successfully confiscated that in raid on the bank safety deposit box in Paradise, backed up by other military people, that the S2, S4 Papoose Lake facility moved to Michael's Air Force Base in Utah, the Dugway Proving Grounds, which also built a massive new high-tech facility back in the 90s. And that is where all of this material, biological and metallurgic, and I'm obviously describing craft, eventually moved to this underground facility. And Victor and other intelligence assets that we have interviewed feel that any extraterrestrial that was possessed by the United States, I wouldn't say incarcerated because we did try and treat these beings fairly, any extraterrestrial being that the government has possessed is deceased in the sentient term and, you know, has died. And that we're quite confident because that's been a repeating theme for many people in this program, which is Project Aquarius.
Project Aquarius. All right. You're breaking up again. So we're going to wrap this up and I'll have to have you back on. But let me ask you one final question is, what are you doing with all of this information that you've gathered and put together? Where is this leading?
Richard, I'm so terrified of these names of people coming out and CNN vans showing up to their offices or homes that I was try to get this, and I'm backing up my words. I went in August of last year to the New York Times to put this in this paper, redact the names of the men, you know, out of respect, show the entire provenance of my film. That failed. The media has ignored me, despite David Grush's testimony, which backs up exactly what I've been telling people. My only other alternative to bring this to the public is through a documentary and using not UFO interested people's money to finish this, but to use Hollywood's money. Why? I'm not going to take anybody's money from the UFO community. I don't want to be a grifter. I want this to be pure. I'm in this for about $20,000 myself. So I am going to finish this in a documentary, present this to the world in a very respectful manner, and tie up all the loose ends. There won't be any, you know, cliffhangers, because I used to hate that when I was younger and watched documentaries. I'm going to present this to the world of exactly what has been going on. I probably don't think it's going to be, I think it's not going to be any new news next year because of, you know, what's going on in Congress. But I am going to finish this logically and professionally for the American people.
Is there a website or anything that you want to leave us with if people need to? I don't know, maybe there's another whistleblower out there that has something else to add. You can contact you or...
But I like to give my email, and this has been very successful. People have contacted me. This is working. So I just like to give my email out. It's J-O-N without the H, A-L-A-N-S-T-E-W-A-R-T at AOL.com. John Allen Stewart at AOL.com. If maybe you can put that up in post-production. And, you know, I answer every email I get. I appreciate people's, you know, I don't like fielding emails about my wrestling career and nonsense like that. But if you want to make a comment, or you think you have something, or I've been getting the emails, my father was in this, and let me give you his phone number. And so this is working. This follow-up that I'm doing with podcasts and radio interviews is working, and I encourage people to reach out to me if you have any information or comments on the investigation.
There you have it, folks. The alien interview film from 1997 is the real deal. And Project Aquarius and the Alien Retention and Interview Program is the real deal. John, thank you so much.
Richard, thank you.
A new Richard Sarrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.